Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, Coach, we got a lot of stuff to cover today,
That's
man.
That's right, man. I just want to start off with the Final Four being over with, man.
Whoa.
Yep.
It was a good Final Four.
Yes, it was. Texas Tech beat Michigan State at his own game with the recruiting system going the other way.
Right.
The four graduate students that already had their degrees. And somebody, I heard one announcer said, he said, those are the leftover guys and nobody don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
For the most part.
Yeah, because they went to small schools.
Yeah.
Small Division I's, mid-majors, South Dakotas, them little schools. And they were decent players at those
schools.
They were
decent players, man, and they played within the system that he had developed. They weren't superstars now. Let's not get it twisted. There were no superstars. These guys played within the system. They played hard. They were very coachable. And they were seasoned veterans for college these days. With, you know, when you look at some of the other major schools with the one and the done.
That's right.
These guys, five-year players, man.
And they look like pros. Some of them got like they can play in the NBA.
I would think their stock went up, man.
Man, Mooney. Mooney looked real good.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Got a good size, good length on him. So, you know, everybody was saying that the final would be somewhat of a boring event.
It wasn't.
But it turned out to be one of the best finals we've had in a long time.
You're right. The overtime, the shooting, the defense. I mean.
Yeah. It was great basketball, man.
Yeah. I mean, the zone defense that they played and the toughness that they had on the rebound. I mean, then just also another issue that I've been paying attention to is the racial equitone behind that, because you got Virginia. Remember the Tiki Torches?
Okay.
They were in Charlotte, Virginia. Virginia. That's where it was.
Charlottesville.
At.
Yes,
they
sir.
It was in
That's
that campus.
Yep.
So that was University of Virginia represented that. And once a part of the game, somebody tore a tortita or something out on the court.
Oh, really?
You know, Texas, and, you know, it's a large Hispanic population. So
right.
I saw that. So I'm like,
Waco. I believe Texas Tech is located in Waco.
Yep, it's close to that area. So you think about that, and it's like the racial undertone that's there. Making America great again, kind of final.
Kind of showed it. Kind of reared his head.
Yep, it reared his head in
that
game.
But so. I missed the tortilla toss.
Yep.
I missed that.
The media didn't show it.
Oh, right.
So I got a chance to see it on another outlet, like an Instagram or Snapchat. I saw it.
Okay.
Players like moved it. You know, sometimes the media can get rid of stuff that's come on live television.
Oh, absolutely. It's censored almost.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's live feed is like.
Well, the live is still taped. It's delayed, you know, like 30 seconds or what have you from the actual game.
And they can cut some, like, okay, make sure that don't get on there.
Right. Well, you know, you get guys that may cuss, right?
Yes, sir.
And then before the feed actually gets out, that's deleted. You'll hear silence
or a muffle
in your audio. And, that's because somebody said something and
you're right.
It got through the system.
Yep. Other big news, we got Magic Johnson, man. You know, I'm Michigan State Spartan. I'm like, man, Lansing, the Michigan guy, he walked away.
Yeah. I was watching, they broke, you know, like breaking news, ESPN. And it was like, what could be breaking news on ESPN 8 o'clock at night, right?
Right, that's right.
And it was Magic. And he said he was stepping down. It was a long press conference, man. They showed the entire press conference. It was almost an hour.
Yeah, it's like, when they interviewed him, I could see it in his face, like, he felt that it wasn't going according to his plan.
Like, yeah, there was a lot of mixed messages, I felt. He talked about the whispers. He talked about some things that I think happened outside of the organization. I don't know if he was speaking of fans, news people out in L.A. or what have you, but this was his second year in his three-year plan. For the most part, but he felt that, you know, bringing LeBron was definitely a plus for the organization. Never told Jeannie Buss. He said that he couldn't do that. He couldn't sit across from her and tell her that because he loved her so much. He didn't want to see her get hurt. So she heard it just like everybody else did.
Wow.
And he didn't want anybody to know so the information wouldn't trickle out. He wanted everybody to hear at the same time.
Kind of like he did with the announcement.
With the AIDS.
Yeah, with the AIDS. Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff still to be processed as to what prompted it. And he gave some examples about his businesses. You know, he says he's got billion-dollar deals that's out there being worked, and he's kind of torn between giving them the attention that he needs to give and also the basketball organization the attention that they need to have. And it was really a tough decision, but he said, his heart was what he was building as his business, and that was one of the reasons he decided to step down.
Like, wow, man, it's just looking at that is – like, you know, LeBron, like, hold up, this man brought me over here. He's walking off.
Right, right. So, and you know, I mean, last night was the last game, yeah. Right? And there was talk that supposedly it was Luke Walton's last game as coach. So we don't know if that played into it. If he was like, you know, if you want to get rid of him, I got to go too, type of situation.
Yeah, that's how Magic probably did it. Because Magic see Luke as his guy. I see Luke. As a lot of teams in the NBA, he would turn them around like yesterday.
Man has a high IQ, man, for basketball, no doubt. He's pedigree.
Yeah, he's pedigree. I mean, when Steve Kerr went down with Golden State, they had the best record. That was the 60. That was that record the year LeBron done beat him.
They set the record, man.
He should have coached him in the playoffs.
Right.
And Golden State would have won another championship.
Yes, it is, man.
Because Kerr didn't have it on the bench. You know, he didn't have the flow like Luke had the flow. He knew what it was.
He knew how to, he knew how to make those substitutions and to keep the momentum going, keeping his guys fresh. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, man, in the NBA. The offseason has just gotten more interesting. It was going to be interesting anyway, but now it's gotten to be more interesting. Because the question is now, do we keep LeBron?
Yeah.
Does LeBron want out?
Are we trading for a number one pick?
Are we trading for a number one pick and some other picks, players, whatever? So I'm pretty sure because they got to name a president now, right?
Yes, they do. So before they make any moves, they got to name a president.
You would want to. And he said that's kind of why he decided to leave, so they'd have time to get prepared for the draft and do some other talent evaluations or what have you, getting ready for the next season. So.
So then they said, but you know, like we said off the air, the Clippers shared a building with them. They said somebody across the hall.
Across the hall. There might be a good candidate to take his spot. It's like Jerry West.
Yeah, I heard Shaq say that too. Shaq was like, man, it sounded like a job for Jerry West.
Yeah. Well, actually, I watched him, and he said he wanted Jerry West. He says, I hope you're listening. He said, because we need you on this other side of the hall.
Magic said that?
Oh, no, Shaq. Shaq did last night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you saw that too then.
He put a plug in. He won West, but we'll see.
They're going in the right direction right now. The Clippers is in the direction.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They look like the Lakers from the 80s. They look like Magic and them with defense and all them role players.
Yeah, and young talent.
Man, they tough.
Yeah, they're going to be a tough out, man. Yes, they are.
Somebody got some trouble.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you pull him away from that? I don't know.
I don't know. You got to offer. You know, he done already turned the program, Lakers program, made them champions, and he done did it a couple times. So, don't go get Phil Jackson.
No.
Not a good president.
Not that guy, man.
He's not that guy.
Not that guy.
I did think about his name. I was like, Phil Jackson. I'm like, oh, no. He could teach the triangle, but the triangle's gone now because it's more of that guy that's on the post in the triangle. He's shooting the 3-9.
Right.
He's not on the post no more.
No.
It's the guard posting up on the wing.
Yeah.
And the 4 and the 5 is out of the top of the key.
Yeah, plus that's Jeannie Pro's boyfriend. Yeah. So that's not going to happen.
Yep. Right.
The league wouldn't let that happen.
Jerry West is?
No, Phil.
Oh, yeah, Phil. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's their boyfriend, girlfriend.
Their daughter.
Long time.
Yep, that young
Jeannie
lady.
Buss.
Yeah,
Jeannie
got that young lady. You're right. Yeah. Man. Oh, his eyes on the program already. He telling
she
her.
She might be doing some off the record consultation. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I forgot. Man, let's go back. She like my age almost. She's young.
Yeah. Yeah. So Magic has a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, he does.
Based on his comments last night, he really thinks highly of her. So that's good. But yeah.
Oh, we're not done with NBA. We got Deontay Davis signed a deal.
Deontay, yes, sir. Got him a deal. He's got off the 10-day contract train.
Signed two of them.
Which is always good. He signed two of those.
He signed two of them. They got to give you some money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's time to get paid now. Yep. Down in Atlanta, which, you know, I hope it's a good spot for him, man.
Yeah. I think, like you said, it's just that's proving ground for him now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. He's at that age and the point of his career where two things are going to happen. One is he is going to excel and become one of the, you know, better players in the league.
Yes, sir.
Or go the other way,
I didn't
which
know.
We don't want see that.
But that's league minimum.
But that's the, it's a business. That's what happens. You get better in this league. You get better or you go away.
Yeah, or you just be a practice player. Maintain that.
Europe.
Yeah. Then you only can be so old to maintain a practice status.
Oh, yeah, right.
They want young blood to maintain practice
status. You got guys status. Coming out of college every year, man. Yeah, they practice that's filling that pipeline.
Yeah, so you can't be.
Yeah, you don't want to be no G League player for your whole career.
You don't.
You know, so you got to get in there, work hard, hopefully get in the right spot. You know, it's all about getting in the right system. Organizations can help you hone your talents and want to see you get better and give you that opportunity to get better. And then, you know, and then you got to put in the work.
If I'm him, I'm looking at Trae Young, like, what do he need for me to do? Do I need to pick and roll like a giant for him and get the rebound and find him every time? Because that's right. The face of the program is Trae.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because he will be the rookie of the year.
And Luke, I mean, they might share it because Luke started out early, but Trae finished it off.
Yeah.
Trae finished it off.
Yeah.
Them 40 points and 50 points, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they were saying he probably couldn't make it in the league. When he came out of Oklahoma, they was always the naysayers.
Because they was a football school. He wasn't. They didn't know basketball.
Right.
So when he got to the league, he looked like an NBA player.
But you know what? The brother put the work in, man.
Yeah, he did.
He worked on his craft.
Yep.
He got better.
He got better.
And the result, here he is. Look, like I say, that's one award they give out a year that nobody else gets, Rookie of the Year.
Yep, that one award. So the last time they split it was Grant Hill and Jason Kidd.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, they did a co.
Yep, that was the last time it was a co. Yep, that was the last time it was a co. I don't think nobody else was a co. Was Steve Francis? Nope. He got it all by himself. I think he did.
Okay.
Yep. No, him and Elton Brand split it.
Oh, Elton.
Yep, Elton Brand and Steve Francis split it in 98.
Okay.
Other than that, that's it.
Yeah. He's one of those guys in the league anymore. So.
Nope.
But, yeah, you got to get in the right system, get in the right spot, and hopefully this is a good spot for him.
Yeah.
You know, good organization, and they're struggling. But yet they got young talent, and they can make it happen.
Yep, they'll do good. They'll do good. I see it. So sweet. We got the rapper, man. I mean, we got the hip hop show.
There's been a lot of news, man.
Nipsey Hussle, he's gonna have his funeral. His home going at the Staples Center.
At the Staples Center.
Yeah, but he was about that money though. So we will show a finance. So he was about giving back STEM and helping his community, enriching his community. I seen a video with Master P, and I would say he had a point, but everybody not the same. He said, I love Nipsey. Nipsey's my brother, you know? But he said, one thing I've unrecognized is when you reach a certain level in the status, you can't go back to the hood.
No.
He said, you got to give to the kids and the old people.
Okay.
That's what Master P said.
Okay.
He said, everybody else, they got to get in where they fit in it. He said, kids and the senior citizens, they get all love, money. I show up to the charity events, all that. But he said, I ain't finna be living with them.
I can buy that.
I can buy that too. I mean, just because, and it was another rapper that said, he say the mindset of people that don't want to achieve and they see you achieve and you still in that environment you came up in.
Oh.
He says it's like being in a third grade class and somebody see you and you grew up in third grade with them, you know, shared lunches with them, you didn't help them do something, you didn't gave them a shirt off your back. And as soon as you reach to a status that they can't reach, and even though you helping them, why you reaching it?
Right.
You still an enemy. And he said, you got to look out for that. You got to have that mindset going. He said, so Nipsey had to confront dealing with that issue in that situation.
Yeah, that's the old adage we talk about, the crawdads in a bucket.
Yep, crabs in a barrel.
Crabs in a barrel,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, when one tried to get out, another one, they're pulling him back in. So, yeah. But yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I can.
Children agree with that and old folks
are
the ones that you need to focus on and give your attention to, and those in the middle need, like you said, get in where you fit in.
Yep, do what you got to do. So that's just giving a shout out to Nipsey and what he represented. He represents some good things.
Yeah,
powerful.
That's
brother.
What I've heard, man. A lot of folks have had a lot of good things to see about him going back into South Central LA to, you know, have a business and support the community. So.
Yeah, and change. So. And that's what we all about, you know,
right.
Trying to build and change and see and going on that. So I know we just wanted to share with the sports and just what's going on, the Magic Johnson and all that. But we got some serious issues going on in our government, don't we?
Oh, my goodness,
with this
man.
Finance.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about this last week. What you got on the table for us?
Well, you know, right now there's a lot of tax reform initiatives that are still taking place in Washington. Last year we had the tax reform we talked about early on in that process, and basically we said, based on all the information that we could see,
the cutoffs,
we have to wait until it became tax season to actually determine what kind of tax reform it was going to mean to middle class America.
And it's not looking good.
And unfortunately, it has turned out to be not advantageous for that segment of the population. Okay, middle class America basically walked away with a lot less money than they have in the past. But yet, companies, business owners were able to get a 35% reduction in taxes right off the bat. So, and a caveat to that is there's another reform that's being worked by the GOP is around the 401k. And there's other workplace retirement plans that is being looked at by this political group of people. And I'm just going to give you a brief overview of what this looks like as it is now being proposed to Congress. And it says the Republicans are considering limiting the pre-tax contribution to $2,400 a year, a considerable reduction from the current limit of $18,000.
That's my goal.
Okay. But if you're over 50, then you can go up to $24,000.
That's the old one, though.
The old one.
Okay.
So we've got to put this into context, right? So currently you can stash away $18,000 a year into your 401k pre-tax.
That's the maximum.
That's the max.
Yeah.
So that says that before any taxes are taken out of my paycheck, that percentage that I am giving to my 401k comes out first.
Yeah.
That goes into my 401k. Now, the remaining portion of that gets taxed at whatever rate that is. We're talking about taking it down to $2,400 a year, which is about $200 a month.
Yep. If you're looking at 22 pay.
50 bucks a week out of your paycheck, if you're a weekly paycheck earner. Mm-hmm. That is nothing.
That's crazy, man.
Okay? That's huge.
Because, I mean, when I first started, my whole goal, Tony, I haven't reached the 18,000. I have some friends that's at that number because they have some alternative businesses that's doing pretty well.
Okay.
And they're able to put that $18,000 away. They've been stashing it for several years. So my goal has been like, they've been telling me like, Chauncey, try to get to that 18,000. So right now I'm at half. So okay. I'm like, when I got to half, Tony, I was like, I made it. And it took me about 6 years to get to half.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the goal you got to have if you're going to amass the kind of money that you need for retirement.
But then now you telling me that. Somebody said I can only do $2,400 like
$2,400.
So instead that's of it. trying to have this goal in my mind to reach the $18,000 that I can possibly save a year, I'm trying to get to half right now. I can't even – that's not even – that. What's that? 24 out of 1,800?
That's less than that's about 15. About 15% maybe. Of what you currently can do.
And what it does,
it drives you into other forms of savings.
So like
basically.
So let's look at that. So this plan is scratched, right? They got their table in it right now. Is this gonna happen?
No, this is in the process of being fashioned in Congress. This is proposed.
Okay. Let's give me this scenario. So like now if I'm looking at 18,000, I had a possibility of doing that. So now going forward, what are my alternatives if I can't go the 18,000, or if I can't go to half of that 18,000, and they're telling me my limit where then it's not going to be taxed at 2,400, but I want to try to do 10 or 18. What are the alternatives?
Well, you got to go to an IRA. Okay.
That's one. So you got your 2,400, you got IRA,
which is going to be a tax deferred savings, and basically there might be some annuities that you can get involved in that are not considered tax sheltered.
Okay,
but are tax sheltered, but they're not considered an IRA. So you can go the annuity route. The other piece is that it's going to be taxed. Whatever other forms of savings you try to use would be capital gains, will be taxed as you try to build for retirement. Okay. Now, one of the other parties, person from the other side, it also says that many companies have already gotten rid of pensions, right?
That's right.
We know that. Or reduced their payouts. Social Security funding is a hot mess, all right? That's a whole other issue that's coming down the road. So what we have is the current administration wants to balance their tax cuts for businesses and wealthy Americans by possibly limiting the maximum pre-tax amount that individuals and married couples can contribute to their workplace savings plans, again, such as your 401ks, your 403bs, and other types of saving plans. That's kind of what this is saying, is that we're going to make you use the money that you would normally save, put it in a situation where we can start to tax it now to help balance these other, offset these tax breaks that we've given businesses and wealthy Americans.
Now, look, that's helping the IPOs then, right? That's helping those companies like, if you...
Well, it's helping any company that is currently doing business in America because they've already got the tax break. It's
so
there.
So now they're making us even reinvest our dollars back into them.
Back into the federal government. So this is how it works. When we give them a tax break, the federal government is still spending money at the same rate, the same pace.
The trillions.
But yet the stream of income through taxation has been reduced. So in order to make up for that, we got to find other ways for the federal government to be able to tax you to make up for that difference that we've given the businesses as a tax cut.
So, Dan, let me ask you this now. So you're telling me they brought the new caps out on the taxes, 10%, 20%, right?
Yeah.
15%. They hit you with that. Only $18,000, $12,000, $24,000. You got to have some outrageous number in your real estate. You got to have some outrageous number in your medical to claim it, a loss. So now they're going to tax my investments after they done changed all this and my income tax is lower?
Yep. 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 That's what's going to happen. You have to be able to...
You got to be a millionaire to help this out.
Back to the wealthy.
You got to be rich, man. I'm not wealthy.
Okay. And, you know, there's so many moving parts in this administration that it's so hard to really figure out what's the real plan here. Because on the other side of the coin, I don't know if you've heard, you know, we're going to shut down the borders. Okay. When we say shut down the borders, that means all imports and exports do not come into this country.
We're talking about Jamaica. We're talking about Cuba. We're talking about Mexico.
Canada and Mexico are our biggest, other than China. All right. Especially in the auto industry.
Closely we need related, them.
All right. A lot of goods and services go back and forth.
We need them.
Shut down that border that says that none of that comes in. Okay. And they were talking about what effect that would have on the, especially the auto industry. Since then, he has backed off of it. But it's just the sheer fact of the matter that you would even entertain an idea such as doing that and understanding the repercussions that it would have on the economy. It's like we don't get this. We don't understand how the leaders of this country can even entertain those ideas when we're talking about massive layoffs in this country because you want to shut the borders down because you got this thing about immigrations. And this is just another piece of this whole puzzle about the taxation issue in America.
No, it look like I know we were talking about vacations, right? And you know what it look like right now to me, Tony? It look like two. I know you done been on these kind of vacations. I know you like golf, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we got one where you got the all inclusive, right?
Yeah.
So what we had with the retiree plan seemed like all inclusive. I put my money here, I'm good.
Okay.
I get the $18,000. So now you saying, oh, come here, it only costs $500. But it's not all inclusive. So you know what that look like too, don't you? You know what that look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
You buy a drink, the guy sitting there like, hey, where my tip at?
Per diem. Where my tip at? That's it.
Grab nickel and diamond. So that's you say that phrase again.
What's that? Nickel and diamond.
That's what it seemed like. Nickel we got and nickel diamond. And diamond retiree system. That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And if you don't have some type of expert help, an accountant, a CPA, an investor to show you how to divvy your funds up and make sure the dividends are coming back and paying you back instead of taxing you, it's gonna be like going to shop somewhere and getting just taxed.
And if you don't understand truly the concept of investing and savings and understanding that you need to have streams of income, with this kind of a scenario, you may never retire. because you can't afford to. And you're not able to amass enough money in which to retire. And again, you know, when you talk about the pension issue, okay, why did pensions go away? Because, you know, they just didn't want to do that anymore? No, that wasn't it. That was an expense that corporations had to pay out, and they were able to get away from paying out pensions, so they started a 401k plan where we'll give you a match, all right? So there's no real vested interest in the company as far as maintaining a pension plan. We don't have one. You are responsible for your own pension plan. Legacy cost for an automobile, we talked about that before.
Yes.
Legacy cost of an automobile means that even before the first nut and bolt is placed on a frame,
they put a certain number up.
There's a cost associated with that.
Is it like $4,400 or something you said?
It's like $5,500. Yeah. $5,500.
Before you even make the car. Before you make $5,000.
Legacy cost. It's because the UAW.
I talk about that.
The UAW. Over the years, in the heyday of the auto industry and the steel industry, the aerospace industry, the chemical industries, all of them had these unions. And the unions went in and said, okay, this is what you're going to do for the workers. All right, we're going to make sure that they got health care. We're going to make sure that they have a retirement plan. We're going to make sure that they have a safe working place. These are the kinds of things that happen. And there's a cost associated when you do that in your workplace as a business owner. So now, we can go back to the Reagan era, where this basically became the union busting era. We fired all the traffic controllers, and then they started taking away benefits that the union had gained over the years. Okay, and this is an example of what we have today is the stripped down version of what employers are willing to do for their employees. Unless you was one of the, you know, unless you're really high up on that chain, you know, you don't get the kind of benefits that the workers get. I mean, the workers don't get very much anymore. You're paying a whole lot more for your health care. You don't even have a pension plan. So there's a lot of things that have been taken away. And here's another example of this being taken away as workers. So man. Pretty serious stuff, man.
Man, that's crazy, man.
Pretty serious stuff. So let's hope that the other folks on the other side of the aisle realize the implications of what this would do to the American worker, middle class America, and don't let it happen.
Yeah, I'm tenured, so I'm one of the last groups that got a pension.
Right, and, the teachers union.
Yep, and I got the retirement plan where
your 403B.
Yep,
that you started contributing to.
Yep, so I got that going on too for myself, and then hopefully it'll be a Social Security check. So I've heard people say those three paychecks they get them.
Yeah, but most manufacturing, I tell you right now, is they don't have a defined pension plan anymore. They've done away with it. It's all about the 401k.
So then,
and in order to really benefit, you got to contribute. That's the only way you can get a match. There's a certain amount that you got to give. Or if not, the company don't even give you anything.
Man, it's like just like fending for yourself, like playing lacrosse or something.
Yeah, it is.
By yourself with no other teammates. You're just out there.
Yeah.
At-will employee.
At-will employee. You know, and then they're steady tweaking the Social Security system.
Yeah.
So we don't know what that's going to look like in years from now. Benefits are being, you know, he's already talked about cutting benefits for the Medicaid and the Medicare programs in America. So along with this,
it's a tax on the middle class. There's two things I've just seen, like you say, you're talking about this, because this is how I benefited with my W-4 form. I changed my exemptions.
Okay.
Changed my exemptions. I said, all right, I'm going to change my exemptions to this, and then I'm going to make sure, I'm going to put this much money in my retirement. That's how I did it. On my 403B plan, I said, all right, let me raise my exemptions up so more money come before tax time, mm-hmm. and I just put it in the tax-sheltered annuity.
Right.
I just put it in my savings, okay. Right? Yep. Or I put it in my other investments. I got three or four investments. I said, I'm taking this extra money when I changed my W-4 and put it in this.
Okay.
So that's an extra $400 I'm seeing a paycheck, but I'm not seeing it. It's going towards my retirement or my investments.
Gotcha.
So then now that they got their table in this in Congress right now where your W-4 form, it's not, oh, you can put five there. No, you got to go through a list of things that you might need to have a scientist or an accountant with you.
Or an accountant.
Or you might get in trouble.
Right.
They're getting ready to change that. Oh, what was your adjusted gross income last year? What was this? What was this? It's like about five questions on it.
Okay, because right now you don't have to prove anything.
Right.
You can go in there and say, I want to put eight dependents on my W-4.
And that's on you and your accountant, how you figure that out.
Right. At the end of the year, based on your tax rate, If they didn't take out enough money, then you have to owe.
But see, what they're preparing for, Tony, is if for that person, and I'm seeing it now, that understands the economic system of having six streams of income.
Okay.
So, like, I'm an employee, but I'm also a business owner. But then I can sell a book, and I can sell a service. So they want to know everything you're doing. It's like a microscope.
That's it.
A magnifying glass of what you really got going on. Let's see. Oh, we can get some more money from here from you.
Oh, yeah.
And that shouldn't be right for our citizens.
Yeah. And something else I found out this tax year, there's a whole segment in the IRS that only deals with business owners that are self-employed. I don't know how I missed this, but I did. There's a group that's all they do is scrutinize.
Oh, yeah, I've been to scrutinize already.
Business owners that are self-employed.
Yep. I've been scrutinized. Even though I'm the hybrid of it, I've been audited three times. I've been through all of that.
Okay, so you know.
They come. When they come, they come. That's why I got an accountant that I pay.
That's
it. Since 99 because I already know what it is.
That's
it. Man, this is a good show, Tony. My name is Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.